Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, you play pretty good tennis
for someone your age.
That backhanded compliment was directed my way. Pardon the pun about backhanded. A few years ago, when my partner and our doubles were whooping up on these kids about 30 years younger than we were, of course, they eventually wore us out and beat us in the long run, but they were surprised at our ability to play tennis. Well, I never had like backhanded compliments. You know what I'm talking about. The first part of it kind of butters you up, gets your ego kind of soothed. You think, oh, I'm going to get, and then bam, they hit you with something like that. Sort of like, you play tennis for your age. Well, it appears at first glance, I will grant you that, that that's what Peter is telling Jesus at the end of our gospel lesson. Where else will we go? You know, it's a little backhanded compliment, maybe. But I don't think so. As I thought about that, that's really not what Peter's saying there. Look at again what Peter says. Peter says the truth first. When you get a backhanded compliment, they butter you up first. Peter is honest, very brutally honest, we might say, of where the disciples were at that time. And I think where you and I are at times in life. This religion stuff, this Christianity, makes no sense to us sometimes. Because it's not logical, it's not human. It's trying to encounter the living God present to us. And there's no way we're always going to understand, appreciate, or know where things work the way we want them to. It is a challenge to be a follower of Jesus. And I think sometimes in the church, we have been afraid to tell people the truth about that. We try to tell them, oh, it's great, you're a Christian, all your cares go away, all your needs go away. There are people that preach this sort of, you know, gospel of abundance. That says, you know, if you love Jesus just hard enough, if you pray hard enough, you'll have money, wealth, and health. No. It's not in the Bible. In all our lessons, that's clear. And even in the Psalm where it talks about the blessing of God, it says, many are the burdens of the righteous. God does not promise us a rose garden to steal a line from a song. Nor does he promise that because we are followers that we somehow get a get-out-of-jail-free card from all of life's problems. No. That is not the promise of peace. These words that Jesus talked about, the body and blood, the things we still debate, and what happens in communion and that kind of thing among the different Christian traditions, was hard. Really hard for them because they were stuck on the literal part of it. That's a story for another time. But it was hard for them. And so many of the disciples began to fall away. Jesus turns to the disciples. What does Peter answer? Now, if you know the story of Peter in the Old Testament, I used to call him Mr. Hoof and Mouth. Where he'd stick his foot in his mouth and then realize it. He would always say bold things. I will follow you to death. Let me walk on the water. You know, you can go through and read the accounts of Peter. He always said these bold things and then realize the truth and begin to slink back. Like when he got out on the water, once he looked at the waves, boom, down he went. And Peter has served as an example, thank God, for all of us who have done that. Who thought, yeah, I'm ready to go and march out there. And oops, not quite as ready as I thought I was when I faced reality. Here, Peter is not spoken to by Jesus, so you don't have the next part of the gospel in the reading today. But he isn't chastised. He isn't faulted for his lack of faith. I mean, this is not a bold endorsement. Not, you know, all we're Christian soldiers, you know, marching off to win the battle kind of thing. It is that Peter is being realistic. That it is at times very hard. Sometimes confusing. Sometimes even unsettling to be a follower of Jesus. And we need to be honest with that. With each other. And with people who come around the church. Don't sugarcoat it. Let's not butter it up. Let's be honest about it. We're here because of what Peter says is also true in the second half. You alone have the words of eternal life. No matter where else we turn in life, we will not find the message of hope and deliverance that speaks to reality as well as our hopes as the message that Jesus gives us through the cross and his resurrection. But it's rooted in reality. That's what I want to start with. I want us to not think of our faith as something that's sort of idealistic up here. When we live in this world, we live in a troubled world. And our lives are not going to be perfect. I think you'll figure that out by now. You're smart enough to know that. But that's not the expectation. The expectation is that Jesus walks with us, guides us. God's mercy, love, endurance, forgiveness, all the good stuff is not dependent on how we feel or how we react. It is all based on God's love and mercy. So what can you count on? That's what Peter's saying. It's not whether I feel like I'm a Christian this day. He didn't use that terminology in his time. Doesn't feel like I'm a very faithful person. What I depend on is God's faithfulness. And that's liberating. Think about it. If you're trying to depend it on yourself, you already know you're not going to succeed all the time. And so whatever you depend on is a little falter in faith. Everything human does to some extent, at some point in our life, promises God's love and mercy and forgiveness and grace. It's not dependent on how we feel, but about how God feels about us. And that is a constant grace and mercy. So even though Peter doesn't get what Jesus is saying about, and maybe you and I sometimes don't get what Jesus is talking about, we can trust and believe and carry on in faith and hope of them. Now, famous philosopher Pete Townsend, you know I was looking at a rock Norfolk here somewhere, once wrote in the rock opera Tonga, "I am free, and freedom tastes of reality." And I've always been struck by that one, that we don't often associate freedom with reality. And maybe we don't associate faith with reality, but God does. God does not have unrealistic expectations for us. He challenges us. He changes us. He motivates us. But God always knows that we're not the perfect creatures He is going to make us into. What He does call us to be is people who trust and hope when we don't understand, or when we are uncertain, or when the pieces don't fit in the puzzle right, to still believe that God has not abandoned, forgotten, or looked down upon us in any way, but only comes with His arms with the marks of the cross and love and care and mercy. This is the liberation of God. Not that we're better people. I hope we get better through our faith and living it out. That is one of the hopes we live by. But that's not what saves us. What saves us is God's grace, mercy, faithfulness to us. And we can go to the bank on that one. That's what Peter is really saying. Our faith is not disconnected from the realities of life, but is immersed in the middle of it. That even in the midst of times of trouble and struggle, as well as the times of triumph and success, God is present. Yeah, sometimes we maybe have this brief, like 30 seconds, in which clarity comes about the issues of the world or about what God's doing. But God has not loved me anymore in those moments. He's not present really anymore in those moments, as in the moments when I struggle to put two and two together about this life. That's the promise. That's the grace. That's the gospel that's lesson. Yeah, there are plenty of people that try to butter you up. You can go backhanded compliments, and backhand still needs some work on it. But this is not that. This is grounding us in the reality of life, in the reality of God's love and mercy. So, yeah, you might hear sometime you play pretty good tennis for the age you are. But God has said to us, I love, care, support, and guide you no matter where you are. For my love and promise is faithful even when you don't understand. Even when the only reason you're here is that somehow you put one foot in front of another. That's the real mark of faith, isn't it? It's not the surety. It's not having the answers. It's the willingness to keep going in this direction that we feel God is leading us. As Luther put it, on paths untrodden, on ways in which we do not know where we are going. That's the life of faith. So be careful not to get too much into backhanded compliments, not to get too much into feeling on ourselves, but allow God to lift and guide and lead us. And don't worry about whether you have all the answers. Turn to God for guidance.